is time for Kids Q, designed to promote fun and healthy communication between parents and children. WCHL's Kids Question of the Week, Kids Q, airs every Wednesday and Friday at 3:30 during the Aaron Keck Show. Why that would be now. Presented by PTA Thrift Shop and the brand new YouthWorks on Main Collaborative, the beautiful community home for some great child-focused nonprofits, including Youth Forward, Triangle Bike Works, Musical Empowerment, the Skajaja Fund, Healthy Girls Save the World, and more. And joining us today to help us out with Kids Q is the mayor of Chapel Hill, Pam Heminger. How are you?
Hello, hello.
Are you ready for this?
I'm always ready.
These are always a lot of fun. Everyone comes in.
An amazing amount of community services
that we have pulled together
to help our whole community thrive.
Yeah.
And it, just hearing that it was such a long list is just, it's heartwarming that we have so much going on.
And the and more is significant too, because all of those nonprofits started out at YouthWorks and they're adding more. There's different organizations. We're talking to all of them. They're collaborating with each other. They're realizing that services are overlapping and they can work together on things. And it's great.
That's the spirit of our community. I love it.
Exactly.
All right. What do you got?
All right. So here we go. If you're driving around, if you're at home, get by the radio, get your kids by the radio and get ready for this, because this is for everyone. So here is today's question. If you had to pick between having one gigantic hand or one gigantic foot, what would you pick and why?
Oh, the gigantic hand. I'm a klutz anyway.
Oh, so the
foot would just get me in all kinds of tumbling issues. And with the hand, you could backhand. You can grab bigger things. You could catch yourself while falling.
That's true. I would feel like as mayor, you'd want the foot so you can just like kick people.
I'd fall over with the other foot. So we're good. No, I'd go for the hand. Yeah,
that's good. Yeah. I was thinking about the hand at first because like with one gigantic foot, like you'd be all wobbly. And off balance, and you fall over. Shopping for shoes would be ridiculous.
Just awful.
Bad enough as it is. But I would take the foot over the hand because I spend so much time typing and writing that I would have to learn to type again, basically.
Use hand signals. I could.
There are some certain times when I'm driving that having one gigantic hand would be real helpful.
But also, in the day of Siri, you could always do your text via voice. It's really cool that it's happening now too. It's really cool.
That's right. Give me the hand, and then I'll just like teach my phone to use voice technology.
There you go.
I just got this new phone, which is nice. All of my friends were making fun of me until a couple of months ago because I did get rid of my flip phone a few years ago. Replaced it with like this tiny little dinky phone from back in the age when smaller was better, like five years ago when that was the case. And then ever since then, it's just gotten bigger and bigger. So I just got this brand new phone, but it's giant size now.
There's nothing that can fit in my pockets anymore. And then my children like to tease. I have to put the font so big on my text. So the messages scroll for a long way down.
The point being that a gigantic hand would be helpful because then I could actually fit the phone as opposed to having it dwarf my hand.
Okay.
Anyway, gigantic hand, we're agreed.
I haven't been asked that question before. I've been asked a lot of questions.
You do get a lot of good questions when you like visit kids in schools,
right? Well, they come to us. We have a town hall field trip available for all third graders or any group that wants to come, and it's wonderful. They get to do a mock meeting with me, and then I play 20 questions with the mayor.
Nice.
They get to be in the council seats and do all this, and they get to go to the fire station, and we have a whole thing on public works for them to do. So we've gotten a lot of great questions out of the kids as they learn and discover about their own local government.
That's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. If you're listening out there, driving around, at home, wherever you are, at work, ask yourself this question. Ask your kids this question. See where the conversation goes. Gigantic hand, gigantic foot. You got to pick one. What would you pick and why?
I hate only getting to choose one thing.
Right? Yeah. Both, definitely. Both preferably. If you got great answers, share them with us on Facebook or Twitter. Tag us at WCHL Chapelboro and at YouthWorks on Main. That's Works with an X, YouthWorks on Main. Use the hashtag KidsQ, and I'll look forward to hearing your answers. 3:36 here on the Hill. We got Pam Heminger here in the studio for what is, I guess, a busier week than usual.
Not in spite
of the fact that it's Labor Day week, but because of the fact that it's Labor Day week. Like, you still have to do 5 days worth of work, and it's all crammed into four days.
It's been exciting. I will say it was a great Labor Day weekend in spite of the weather.
Yes.
We had three different proclamations over the weekend. The first was Living Wage Day, and we're going to be celebrating that tonight at our meeting as well. well. Orange County Living Wage Organization is supporting 126 local businesses who voluntarily pay a living wage, including the town of Chapel Hill. So yes, we're very, very proud of that. Yeah. The Tiger Marching Band, which was at Lincoln High from 1949 to 1966, had a weekend celebration. They were infamous for bringing the community together with music and showmanship and all kinds of activities that went on. Plus, they're really good musicians. And the Chapel Hill High School class of 1967 was the first class to graduate from the new integrated Chapel Hill High School. Nice. So it was their 50 years. Yeah,
awesome.
Yeah. So that was over the weekend, and that was really fun. Today we are congratulating Ann Morgan. She is the cafeteria manager at Phillips Middle School. She won the national competition of all the employees, best employee across the nation. So
awesome.
We're very lucky.
Wait, for what?
You're gonna laugh. So she's been at Phillips for 20 years, and it involves the school's meal program,
right,
and all the different things about going the extra mile to get kids to eat healthy, to get more kids to eat, to keep kids interested in nutrition and healthfulness. And it's a really huge honor. Like I said, out of 40,000 employees, where she won
awesome.
The national award they celebrated this morning. She gets a trip to Disney World, so that's
nice.
Really, yeah.
That's
yeah,
cool.
So,
what's the organization? Is it like school employees
National,
or something like
Associate
that?
Of the Year for Chartwell's K-12.
So oh, Chartwell's. Okay,
right,
so the
right.
school lunch program.
Who does
gotcha.
All these school lunch
yep,
programs.
Yep,
that's
yep.
really, really good.
Nice.
On the flip side of that,
mm-hmm.
we had the DACA announcement
right.
yesterday, and this is really, really disheartening to
yes.
so many. I will say, we're hopeful that Congress is going to take this forward. We urge everyone to contact, especially Senator Tillis, who seems
mm-hmm.
to be poised to make some action on this.
He's going to introduce a bill.
Yes.
Yeah.
So write, share your thoughts. We want this to be real. We want these. We want our future to be brighter for so many.
Mm-hmm.
All the children who are deferred action.
Deferred action for childhood arrivals.
There
yeah.
we go. It's DACA.
It took me
Dreamers.
Forever
I keep
to
trying to do Dreamers
to
with DACA together.
Memorized. Yeah, yeah.
And so there are many, many. North Carolina is one of the top 10 states.
50,000
yeah,
of the 800,000 Dreamers. And we call them Dreamers. They're Americans.
Right.
These are people who were brought to the U.S. when they were kids, sometimes infants. They've
right.
known no other country but this one. They're Americans. And now, with this program going away, like, they've got no protection.
So we've added more fear factor.
Yeah.
We've just added to our whole national community
mm-hmm.
and to our local community. People are wondering. And the chancellor of UNC put a letter out today
yep.
talking about this.
Durham Tech did the same thing.
Durham Tech. We are trying to work with our representatives nationally and state level to talk about how we deal with this and to see what kind of help we can guide and information we can give them as they put the bills forward and supportive. I know our legislative delegation is supportive.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to get the rest of the state on the table.
So what can Chapel Hill do?
Like I said, anybody, any citizen out there, please contact our senators
mm-hmm.
and our U.S. representatives. That would be very, very helpful as these bills move forward. Show them that you want to support this. Give them your reasoning. Encourage them to go forward with this. The more they hear, I mean, it's true. If they hear, 5,000 people calling in one way and only 10 the other, it kind of gives them an indication of which way to lean. So we need those voices raised. So
yep.
please raise your voice.
Absolutely.
Out there. Yeah.
And in terms of the fear factor, I know, God, we do this every month, it seems like, whenever another directive comes down from the federal government these days, but Chapel Hill Police isn't in this business.
No.
I think it's important
no.
to stress
no.
that. And unfortunately, we've got to stress it every single time.
Yes.
And this happens a lot. But this is not the business that Chapel Hill Police is in or wants to
be
in.
We are open and welcoming
yeah.
community, especially for children.
Yep.
We want all
yep.
all children to be successful. We want all children to reach their highest potential, not only for them, but for our community.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it raises all ships. It really does. So
yep.
please call senators and U.S. representatives and
yep.
or email or however, whatever works for you. Please communicate.
Yeah. And the senators like Tillis and Burr, I think, really important here because they're not gonna let a vote go through unless it gets a majority of Republicans
yeah.
and it's that rule again. So
yeah.
yeah.
Speak up.
Yep.
All right. On Monday
mm-hmm.
is the 9/11 celebration, commemoration, remembrance, however
mm-hmm.
you want to look at it. We're going to be having an event at 140 West Plaza at 8:30 in the morning. It's been organized by our public safety department, and it's a chance to remember the past and show appreciation for first responders.
Yep.
So we welcome you to want to go there. Tonight, we have our first council meeting
yes.
back for this session. We're going to get a campus development update from UNC. We're going to consider designating town-owned property on Homestead Road for affordable housing. And we're going to be talking about a possible development agreement process for Amity Station, mm-hmm. and or development agreement process in general, and then and about Amity Station. Yeah. And then next week we have a public hearing, so we are back in. Please check agendas on our online. They're posted out Friday before the meetings on Wednesday. This is a new trial for us, moving to Wednesdays. And so we're going to see how that goes.
What about the development? I know the discussion tonight about just sort of looking at the process for development
yes.
agreements in general. Is that streamlining it, changing it a little bit, or just starting the conversation?
Well, we've had three or four different development agreements for some projects, and they've all been different.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to find a way to streamline it, but to have a template to work from.
Okay.
And as we're allowed to do development agreements for smaller parcels than large subdivisions or large projects, is that the better way to go? We have the SU special use permit process, and we have this other option, and council is interested in exploring whether this other option has some things that are helpful for both us, the public, and the developers.
Mm. So, just kind of making it more uniform
yes.
so people know what they're getting into?
Correct.
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay.
So we can develop a little trust that there's a predictable outcome. So it'll be interesting to see. I'm not sure where council is on this. We'll hear some discussion tonight, so I'm sure that'll be out there. I wanted to remind people that we do get prepared for emergencies. It is National Preparedness Month. With the event of Harvey and now looking at Hurricane Irma coming our way, I want to encourage people to sign up for Orange County Alerts, sign up for town alerts as well. We want to make sure you're updated as soon as we know anything. We get contacts directly from the weather services and Duke Energy and other groups that be. We're actually out there with that information. We're going to be doing some preparedness ourselves here, but we also want to start encouraging, like Orange County's doing, encouraging communities to get organized and prepared for events like this. It's better to have a plan than to react to a situation.
Yep.
So we're going to be working towards that. But again, right now, get connected and follow the town on Facebook or Twitter or e-news, whatever works for you, but also Orange County Alerts. You can go to the Orange County website and sign up for that. So we really, really encourage people to do that.
Is the town doing anything right now to get ready for
yes.
potentialities?
Yes. So
yeah.
we strategize, and we sent crews out to help with Hurricane Harvey,
mm-hmm.
and they are coming back our way as we prepare for Irma so that they're rested and ready to go. We pull resources together with Orange County, and we do strategic planning. We know where our flooding areas tend to be. We also know about how to react to downed tree situation, power lines. So all that strategy gets put into place, and a command center will be developed as things move on.
And other than getting connected with OC Alerts and with the town, what else can people be doing now to potentially get ready?
So there's a whole packet, and it talks about making sure your family has a plan, that you should stockpile enough water for 3 days. And food mm-hmm. as well.
And pet food.
And pet food.
I've got two cats now. We're looking at each other we got to go to Petco or PetSmart or something.
And then some other practical things, books, games, things
yep.
that you might, things that you can do to stay safely indoors if you need to stay indoors, but also exit strategies. We know that some low-lying areas in town, people already know to move their cars to higher ground in case of flooding for those. And we try to work with those communities and send the alerts out as best as possible ahead mm-hmm. of time. But have a backup plan. Have a plan for your family of what you're going to do. And that would be helpful out there. And make sure, like I said, you're getting the alerts in a timely manner.
Yep.
Yeah. So awesome. Flooding and loss of electrical are two of the biggest issues. There are other ones that come along after that, but those are huge issues yep. for our community.
And what can members of the community continue to do? Because, we're looking at Hurricane Irma, but they're still recovering from Harvey. So
yeah.
I know Chapel Hill sent four fire department
right.
Officials out there and a lot of organization here locally to get relief efforts out there. So what's still going on that we know of?
So there's organizations trying to collect items that have been asked for. People have said, why don't we have a big gathering box for clothes and things? They don't want that stuff right now. That's too hard for them to stop what they're doing and sort through all that. The American Red Cross is a safe place to donate. That goes directly to helping with these projects. There's actually an established one that I had that our town's sending out that has come from the Houston area, a safe place to donate money, which can help buy products. Then they are asking for diapers and toiletry products and stuff, and they're trying to get that organized to send shipments of those kinds of things out to the victims who are staying. 35,000 people are staying in shelters still right now, and the number seems to be climbing up a little bit as people figure it out. It will soon start going back, dissipating, but it's going to be a while. It's
yeah.
going to be a long time.
I'm actually it's almost surprised, considering all the pictures that were coming from Houston, that the number's that low. Well, with 2 million people in Houston.
So if you make your backup plan, you find those family members or those friends who live in a different area of town that you're able to get to them, that's where people would rather stay than in a shelter with thousands of people. So we see a lot of that going on, too, when these things happen. We saw it happen here with our own flooding events that we've had. People made arrangements to stay with other family in Durham or somewhere else where they weren't. And same thing during our water crisis. People actually made some arrangements to go stay other places. So that's why you're not seeing the numbers be as large, because if you're talking about over 40,000 homes damaged and the average for home is 2 point something, we should have seen a lot more in the shelters. But people will travel and get, and people knew it was coming, so they had made plans to be out of there already. So, so that's going on with that.
What else is going on?
I guess that's
like
what
a quarter of the way down the list, aren't you?
There's just a lot going on. And, and I said, I love this community because it cares, it reaches out, it responds, we help each other. And I think even in this time of fear that we're seeing where people are scared, if you look and hear about the stories with Harvey, you realize that we respond. You know, we have these disasters and we respond with kindness and with offers of help of all kinds of natures. People go out and over and help. I mean, they leave their lives and go help other people that they don't know. And that's one thing I love about our country, that we respond in a very positive way. Yep. So that's really good. We had a meeting of Food for the Summer this morning to wrap up and lessons learned and think about how we do it better. I will say, again, an amazing, amazing opportunity. I will reach out to our police department and all their busy season they've had. They sent police cars and canine units to each of the sites several times, let the kids crawl over the fire trucks, let the kids ask questions with the police dog. I mean, not to the dog, but the handlers. We had enrichment things. We had volunteers engaged with kids. We had youth ambassadors. A lot of connectivity that went on that's more enriching than just handing a meal to a child. We're looking for ways to improve. There were more camps that went on this summer. And talking with Chartwell's and Child Nutrition and Services, they could service more of the kids in camps this year before because of our volunteer network. They could do the work of creating the meals, and then we took over the responsibility of distributing the meals, so more meals were distributed. So that was really, really fascinating. We've got a lot of lessons learned. We're putting together how to keep this model sustainable, how not to have to recreate everything every year. So great numbers. We're about where we were last year in total numbers, but not in the way it happened. So that was good improvement with the enrichment piece. So we'll be bringing that news back to share. But again, a thank you out to everyone who helped. A thank you out to everyone who connected. And just it was an enriching experience. And again, love this community and how they respond.
Awesome. Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger, thank you so much.
Thank you, Aaron.